chapters to like my niece or nephew before, but I've never read a full Magic Tree House book because I am just wrong. I'm made that mistake. Never read them. They are so popular. Apparently
I'm
not.
ready,
Oh,
but
okay.
okay, so I have kind of a long poem. It's a poem, but it kind of is a quote too. Isn't it strange how it all happens? All my life I dreamt about the bright lights, big city. You know, they tell you it's going to be glamorous, and they tell you that you have everything, and no one tells you how it's going to be. And they don't tell you when you're twirling in front of the mirror as a child what the papers are going to say about you someday. Because they don't tell you you're building you up just to try and knock you down, but they haven't yet. Taylor Swift. So that's my quote or
Yeah, it was,
poem. It's
yeah. Is it a poem? I was trying to think because as you were saying it, I was like, I recognize that. Like I've heard that somewhere before. Is it a song lyric or a poem
no,
or?
I think it's part of a speech she gave on one of her tours.
Okay.
But it's because I searched up Taylor Swift poems and it came up. So I think it's a poem, but it also sounds like a quote, just a long quote.
She's quite the writer. She's written so many songs and apparently poems or speeches or
Yeah, apparently
whatever
she,
that was.
yeah. No, but she has written a bunch of poems too. Yeah.
I'm always impressed when she comes out with a new album or like the re-releases or the remastering
Yeah,
productions of her
yeah.
albums. There's always like so many new songs.
Yeah. I'm a little bit obsessed with her.
Yeah, she's great. Do you have a favorite song or album or?
My favorite album, I think, is Speak Now. This is the third album. And then my second favorite is the sixth album, Reputation.
Okay. I don't know if I have a favorite. I like a lot of her music, but yeah, I don't know. Haven't put much thought into it.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say
Yeah.
I have a favorite. But I have a favorite album, but I can't name a favorite song.
I'm sure that would also shift from time to time too.
Yeah, it's kind of changing every week.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for sharing that. I can talk about a book that I've been reading. This book's been out for a while, maybe a year. And I finally am getting around to reading it. And I'm about halfway through. And I'm really enjoying it. It's a middle grade graphic novel memoir by Dan Santa, called A First Time for Everything. And so it's based on his time in middle school. And in middle school, he experiences a bit of bullying and he gets to go on a class trip to Europe, which is awesome. I'm very jealous. And he doesn't have huge expectations for it based on who's going on the trip, but he ends up having a fun and interesting time and making new connections, new friends. And so it's about this, it's like a road trip graphic novel memoir where it's the most of the book centers on this trip. So it's fun. You get to like travel around with them and experience both the highs and the lows and the weirdness of middle school life, which you all are probably living through right now. But I really love Dan Santat's artwork. I've read picture books by him before. He has a lot of really great picture books. And I don't know, I always like a graphic novel memoir. I mean, I love memoirs in general, but I think especially for graphic novel memoirs, they often incorporate the author's love of artwork and how artwork plays a role in their life as a young person. And it's interesting seeing that. And then they grow up and they're making art. And I've seen some posts from this author, and there's some pictures in the back of the book too from the trip. So you get to see some of the pictures of the characters in the book in real life. And then I've seen some posts online where when he was on book tour, he got to connect with some of his high school friends who were in the book. So that's also cool. I don't know. As an adult that reads young adult literature and middle grade literature, I feel like you have a lot of moments reading the books where you're like me as a reader, as an adult, and flashing back to when I was a young person and making connections with like my younger self and my friends from that time and my family from that time. And there are like highs and lows that you remember, and it's, I don't know, the highs definitely stand out in this one, like the nice moments that are sometimes surprising or that like stick with you, that helped like form some friendships for him, are really sweet. But also, I really want to take this trip. I'd love to do a sort of cross Europe trip where you go to several different places. Seems fun. And it would have been super fun in middle school. But yeah, so far they've gone to France. Where else have they gone? Where I'm at in the book. France, Munich. I think they went to Salzburg. I'm not sure where else they're going. But yeah. So that's A First Time for Everything by Dan Santat. And out in libraries, bookstores, all that. And this book is also up for a National Book Award this year, which is cool. So those awards will be announced November 15th. And I've only read one of other book that's in the finalists. There's five finalists. So it's this one. There's a picture book called Big by Vashti Harrison, which I read, which is very good. And then there's a book called The Lost Year by Catherine Marsh, which is set during a Ukrainian famine. And I have that one checked out from the library now, so I'll be reading that soon. And then there's a book called Huda F. Cares by Huda Fahmy. And that's a graphic novel. I think it's a memoir as well. I can't remember. I read the first book, Huda F. Are You? And Huda F is her first name and her first initial of her last name. So I'm not cursing here. There's no cursing in the title. and then there's another book called Gather by Kenneth M. Cato, which I haven't really heard much about, but those are the five nominees. So I'm always curious to see who will win during these awards. But this one's definitely a winner. Whether or not it wins the award, it's a winner. The First Time for Everything by Dan Santat. And I could also read a poem. I'm going to read, let's see, which one should I read? I wanted to read a poem or two that I found on poets.org. They have, if you search for poems for kids, you can easily find a link to their section of poems for kids. And I picked out a couple from their Native American Heritage Month section. So I'll start off with reading one called Victory. It's by Sherman Alexie, who is an author and poet. And he wrote The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian, which is an award-winning book. And it's also frequently banned and challenged. It's a very good book. He's also written books for adults and teens and tweens and kids, picture books too. But this is Victory. When I was 12, I shoplifted a pair of basketball shoes. We could not afford them otherwise. But when I tied them on, I found that I couldn't hit a shot. When the ball clanked off the rim, I felt only guilt, guilt, guilt. Oh, immoral shoes. Oh, kicks made of paranoia and rue. Distraught but unwilling to get caught. Or confess, I threw those cursed Nikes into the river and hoped that that was good enough for God. I played that season in supermarket tennis shoes that felt the same as playing in bare feet. Oh, torn skin. Oh, bloody heels and toes. Oh, twisted ankles. Oh, blisters the size of dimes and quarters. Finally, after I couldn't take the pain anymore, I told my father what I had done. He wasn't angry. He wept out of shame. Then he cradled and rocked me and called me his little basketball Jesus. He told me that every cry of pain was part of the hoops sonata. Then he laughed and bandaged my wounds, my Indian boy poverty basketball stigmata. So that was Victory by Sherman Alexie, and it was originally published in the winter 2015 issue of Prairie Schooner. And then I'll read one more. This one is by Ophelia Zepeda, and it's called Carrying Our Words. We travel carrying our words. We arrive at the ocean. With our words, we are able to speak of the sounds of thunderous waves. We speak of how majestic it is, of the ocean power that gifts us songs. We sing of our respect and call it our relative. That was translated into English from Odum by the poet. Those are just a couple poems. I'll share some more this month as we're in Native American Heritage Month. So we're out of time for today, but we hope everyone out there listening has a great week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Brush past me in the hallway, and you don't think I can see it, do you? I've been watching you for ages, and I spend my time trying not to feel it. But what would you do if I went to touch you now? What would you do if they never found us out? What would you do if we never made up? Kept everything professional, but something's changed. It's something I like. They keep watchful eyes on us, so it's best that we move fast and keep quiet. You won't believe half the things I see inside my head. Wait till you see half the things that haven't happened. What would you do if I went to touch you now? What would you do if they never found us out? What would you do if we never made up? We just wanna party. Party just for you. We just wanna party. Party just for you.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Guillermo Rickerson of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
You have the already global networks. So my argument is very simple. The present media is too large and wasteful. From now on, we should think about the more smaller media to diverse our culture and community. I have different idea on airwave. Airwave belong to the every people, everybody, not to the states or a government. Okay, I will make the transmitter now. Special radio station. Telephone number is 212-420-9045.
Pedimos que por favor reporten al 420-9045. Estamos midiendo la fuerza de esta transmisión, una nueva emisora.
This is great.
But I have only the VHS.
Independent narrowcasting.
For less than it costs to buy a real good radio.
This is WNYU too. We're actually going over a really powerful station.
Really? Right, we're going over NYU?
Yeah, so if you can imagine, if we go on a space that's not being used, we can go even further.
Yeah. Not that there are a lot in New York. But keep yours close to the mic. Guys know what's called. We're really getting a lot of reach and a lot of distance. Nobody lives around here, that's the thing. Tell me if I'm going to bump into some guys.
That's not them, is it?
In the back of my head, then I could see the places I've been, but then I would know that you're talking smart. I don't want to know what my friends think. Wish I were my dog out on the lawn. I'd be so glad when I hear you come home. But if I were my dog, I wouldn't live long. I'm sure gonna miss her when she's gone. I wish I could act in a show on TV, cause then I could practice not being me. I'll practice my cry, put it into my reel, but you won't believe me when I cry for real. I wish that my brain would triple in size. I'd nail every joke, I'd win every fight, but I get too deep with that kind of mind. I don't wanna know the point of life. In some other life, I would be rich. I'd travel in style, I'd cover the bill, but couldn't complain about anything small. Nobody'd feel bad for me at all. If I was cocaine or a bottle of Jack, I'd get invited to every frat. But when you get old and your good days are past, you'll only want me when you're sad. Wish I was a song, your favorite one. You'd follow the dance to me at your prom. I would be there when your baby is born. For 2 or 3 minutes then I'm gone. I wish I was big as my house. I'd sleep on the trees, I'd skip every crowd, but I wouldn't fit on my therapist's couch. Get to it really, losing now. I wish I was God, I'd never trip up. And if I did, well, only say what. I could be cruel and break all your stuff. Yeah, I'd be loved. I wish I was me, whoever that is. I could just be and not give a sh-. Hey, I'll be whatever makes you a fan, cause I don't know who I am.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio. You're listening to 97.7 FM WGXC on Clubhouse Radio. And we'll be back with the local news and weather.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Timmy Feliciola reports for the Times Union that Representative Pat Ryan says his 18th congressional district includes two families with relatives who were taken hostage by Hamas at the beginning of the war with Israel. The war has Ryan pulled all sorts of ways by constituents and donations. Many people showed up at two recent protests calling for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war on October 25th in Poughkeepsie and on November 9th in Kingston. The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, gave Ryan nearly $26,000 to his 2022 congressional campaign. On the hostages, Ryan said, and I quote, two families in the district have relations currently held in Hamas as hostages. There are about a dozen American hostages. Two of them are from Goshen. I've been texting and speaking almost daily with the niece of two individuals who are 72 and 73 years old. They were out on a morning walk in their kibbutz when they were taken hostage. We think the gentleman, 73, was shot by Hamas terrorists. We have no idea where they are now. The last time their phone was pinged by the Israeli Defense Forces, they were in Gaza. So we're working night and day, 24/7, to do everything we can to get them home, end quote. Ryan also decried what has spilled over from the war into this country. Ryan said, and I quote, now we're at near unprecedented levels, at least in my lifetime, of both anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. We've had many more incidences of anti-Semitism reported to us, not to say that there aren't others that haven't been reported. Personally, my wife and her family are Jewish. It's very scary talking to rabbis and religious leaders across the district. Their fear about having their congregation meet for services is unprecedented. It is infuriating and also saddening that we've reached this point where we're pitting American against American. That's exactly what our adversaries in Iran and Hamas want, end quote. Ryan voted with Republicans Mark Molinaro and Elise Stefanik on a measure put forth by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene to censure Democrat Representative Rashida Tlaib for making a statement using a phrase many Israelis say is anti-Semitic. But in an interview with the Daily Freeman, Ryan refused to disavow an extremely similar statement from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party. Ryan said, and I quote, I've not heard him say that. What's clear to anyone who wants to see a resolution here, who's studied the history, and who's followed the facts on the ground, is the only durable solution is a two-state solution, which I certainly remain committed to, which the United States has to remain committed to, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Spencer Collin reports for New York State of Politics that protesters who want a ceasefire in the Israeli-Hamas war held a die-in November 9th outside Representative Paul Tonko's Albany office. Members of Upper Hudson Peace Action and Jewish Voice for Peace held a die-in at the Democrats' office. The protesters wanted Tonko to sign on to a ceasefire now resolution in the House. Jewish Voice for Peace organizer Karen Carmelli said, and I quote, a ceasefire is the bare minimum that we can do to stop killing civilians. We need to stop killing civilians immediately, end quote. So far, Tonko supports a humanitarian pause, which ceasefire advocates say is not enough. Tonko was mum on Thursday, but one of his representatives released a statement that said, and I quote, Congressman Tonko's top concerns are avoiding further deaths of innocent civilians and facilitating the return of all hostages, which is why he has called for an immediate stop to the violence in Gaza and continues to call for aid workers to be allowed to deliver food, water, medical care, and resources needed in Gaza, end quote. Protesters panned Tonko's statement. Carmelli said, and I quote, giving them water, giving them a little bit of something to eat, and then continuing to bomb them with weaponry that is provided by the U.S. government using U.S. taxpayer dollars is unconscionable, end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Karina Dominguez reports for News 10 in Albany that New York's Division of Criminal Justice Services said on November 9th that the numbers of violent crimes have dropped in the first half of this year compared to 2022. The number of murders outside New York City is down 27%, while rapes are down 16%, and the number of robbery and aggravated assault cases are also lower. Those are facts. The opinions, though, are the opposite, with the October Siena Institute poll finding 59% of voters saying crime has gotten worse over the last year. A A spokesperson for the city of Albany said, and I quote, "While crime is down, we sometimes hear that people feel unsafe when approached by those panhandling or suffering from mental illness and substance abuse," end quote. Read more about this story at News 10. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 update. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Clubhouse Radio. No, 90.7 FM WDXC. Broadcasting Acre, Cathew, and Hudson. I'm your lovely host, DJ Sean Rennie, with
your sound engineer, DJ Cola. And today we have some Dragon Ball Lo-Fi, because I want nap. I want tired. I'm not going to be making much language sense today. So that's why I'm not. I'm not hosting. Because I have been up since tomorrow. Since yesterday, since 2 days ago.
So you haven't slept in like 3 days?
I really just said I haven't been up since tomorrow. That's crazy. Oh, listen to the background. Some Master Roshi Kamehameha. With that being said, we got the wheel. And would you like to be the one who spins it?
Yes.
Click a dumb button. Okay. Wait. It works now. Trust me.
Alright, so
I added some new people.
Oh my god, wait. I still have to do my sound effects. I'm sorry for touching your soundboard.
You're ready.
I think it was 10.
Ooh, Optimus Prime.
Okay, I got you. Optimus Prime versus
ooh, this is
Vegeta.
Vegeta sweeps. It's not close.
Yeah, would you?
I'm sorry. Let's give Optimus Prime a second chance. Because
okay,
you're literally going up a guy who has the... Bruh. He wants to throw hands. We almost got Vegeta again.
Okay, so Optimus Prime versus the Hulk. Not one again? The Hulk. I already forgot which one it was. The Hulk. The Hulk? There it is. 16. The Hulk.
The Hulk. The big, bad, green man with the purple
tan. I
want to
say the Hulk win.
Shorts. Yeah, the Hulk just literally gets mad and throws him. And then he's done. That's a sweep.
But maybe Optimus Prime won? Because, how tall? Could you look up how tall Optimus Prime is compared to the Hulk?
Yeah. How tall is Optimus Prime? Okay, so he's 28 feet tall. He big.
How tall is the Hulk?
The Hulk height. I mean, definitely...
Because I know the Hulk grows, like, when he's mad.
Yeah.
But, like, beast.
7 and 8 feet, so...
Optimus Prime wins.
You think so? I think, what would happen
is... Which
is
he way?
You know that fight between Piccolo and Goku?
Yeah.
And then Piccolo steps on Goku?
Yeah.
I think that would happen. I feel like Optimus Prime would, like, try to step on him, and the Hulk would get more and more mad until he eventually, like, swings him by his leg and throws him. Yeah, I think that's probably what happens when that happens. Words of wisdom. What's the quote of the day?
If November was a tree, I feel like the tree would be dead. Because there would be no nuts.
I can't believe you. So that being said, everybody, we're going to be going into a very nice song. We are going to be going into Shakespeare by Miranda Cosgrove. I'm finding it. Trust me, I'm a doctor.
I will also say that I have not slept that much. I've been up since this morning. So...
We're like the sleep-deprived podcast, but like, not smart. That being said, yeah. Shakespeare...
Thank you. wondering where it went wrong. The ringing of bells and the sound of the tone. I haven't heard it in years. Walking in the rain past your home. Feet soaking wet for missed calls on your phone. Light in the window of where I belong, but I see two shadows up there. So this is how it feels to fall.
I used to hear a simple song that was until you came along. Now in its place is something new. I hear it when I look at you. Thank you.
songs I wanted more. Perfection is so quick to bore. You are more beautiful by far. Our flaws are who we really are.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Mid-Hudson News reports that several hundred people rallied outside Representative Pat Ryan's Kingston office on November 10th, asking him to support a ceasefire in the war between Israel and Hamas. Many in the crowd also want the U.S. to stop sending taxpayer money to Israel to pay for the war. The terrorist group Hamas attacked Israeli citizens on October 7th in horrific acts of violence. Since then, all sorts of civilians have been injured or killed in the conflict. Mia Inouye, a member of Mid-Hudson Valley Democratic Socialists of America, said, and I quote, "We grieve for every life that has been lost in this conflict, including Israeli and Palestinian lives. Our point is we are against war, and we want to put an end to the violence, and we believe that what Israel is doing in Palestine, which is they have killed over 10,000 people, half of them children, is not going to bring peace to the region. In fact, it is just going to perpetuate the cycle of violence," end quote. Felice Gelman, a member of Jewish Voice for Peace, Hudson Valley, said she is, and I quote, "deeply disappointed to see my congressman line up with the same militarists who brought us the Iraq War. Didn't he learn anything from serving?" end quote. Ryan on social media wrote that, and I quote, "Our ally, Israel, is surrounded by enemies who seek to destroy it. It has both the right and the responsibility to defend itself and its people, including rescuing hostages, reasserting control of its border, and establishing deterrence against future attacks," end quote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Luke Posnow reports for New York State of Politics that for the Veterans Day holiday, Governor Kathy Hochul signed several bills for New Yorkers who previously served in the armed forces. Among the new laws announced on November 10th, veterans and members of a Gold Star family tree now get free admission to state parks, historic sites, and recreational facilities in the state. Other new laws ease regulations and paperwork for veterans and provide some economic benefits. Hochul said in a statement, and I quote, "We owe a debt of gratitude to the veterans who risk their lives to serve our country. This legislation will provide resources and support New York's veterans, honoring their service and recognizing their heroism," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Mike Goodwin reports in the Times Union that Representative Elise Stefanik filed a legal complaint on November 10th against State Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron, who is currently presiding over Donald J. Trump's civil fraud trial. Stefanik claims that Engoron has shown, and I quote, "inappropriate bias and judicial intemperance," end quote, while judging the case about Trump's business fraud.